You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode number 627. We are the Fight Disciples. This one is all about boxing. If it's the first time you've ever come to us, I know I say this a lot, but you won't know that if this is the first time you've ever come to us. Anyway, I've said it anyway. Please subscribe. You could do that via iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. And you can also subscribe to us on YouTube. Again, looking for Fight Disciples. If you need any other type of feed, we've got the lot, man. We've got the full toolbox. Get yourself on our website, fightdisciples.com. And we're all over social media where you can keep up to date, on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis. Now, I know what you're thinking. There's nothing to review here other than, you know, two heavyweights not fighting each other and looking forward to a catchweight fight at the weekend that is just dripping in nostalgia that means absolutely nothing for the sport. It's just got everybody's balls tingling a little bit. Yeah, that's what boxing is at the moment, kids. That's where we're at in the game of boxing. And we are going to be talking about those things. However, I'm going to start the show talking about some proper boxing, you know. That's right, because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking there was no proper boxing on at the weekend. Yes, there was. Your call Friday night. This is where I want to point you. You would absolutely, honestly, mate, you would be jizzing all over you. You'd come on yourself, right? You wouldn't.
I know where you're going now. I never watched it, but I know where you're going.
You wouldn't have the socks out. You would just go, oh, this is just perfect for me, this. Area title fights galore.
Oh, yes.
Elite level matchmaking. York Hall as a venue. Oh, mate, it was just filth. Absolute filth. For those that don't know too much about this, this was an Into Boxing production on Friday night. And I know about it because it was streamed on TalkSport. And anybody who listens to this knows that I present the TalkSport stuff. So it was streamed on TalkSport, coming from the York Hall. I think they had three area title fights on there. Elite matchmaking in those. Solid matchmaking further down the card as well, building up some prospects. I think if you bought a ticket for this, you were in for a little bit of a treat. This is what boxing is supposed to be look like. Yeah, okay, there was no major names on there. There's no superstars on there yet. But that's what boxing's supposed to look like. And I just want to take a little hat off to Lee Eaton. I think he's one of the best matchmakers in the country. I really do. You have matchmakers that are connected to other promotions that are dishing up these shows that nine times out of 10 we're mourning about on our show. Lee Eaton at the weekend put on a program of boxing that he can be incredibly proud of. All the boxers that participated could be incredibly proud of. And fight fans that actually went along to have a little bit of a nosy in, got value for money, and left the gaff with a bit of a spring in their step. So well done, everybody, all round. Sensational stuff. The streams are still available, by the way.
I talk about area title fights all the time, man. I absolutely love them. A well-matched area title fight will deliver because even though chances are in one corner you've got someone with British, maybe even European title aspirations, they're still raw novices. And then you often get lads that, you know, are starting to slip into the journeyman route a little bit, away from home kind of fighter, got a few losses on the record. But to them, an area title means the fucking world. The world. So they raise the game massively as well. So honestly, area title fights are always some of the best fights you will see, period. So it's no wonder that Lee's tapped into that kind of avenue here on that card on Saturday night, on Friday. Was it Friday or Saturday? Friday night.
Friday. This one was Friday night, yeah. Just on what you just said there.
Southern area title fights. Cracker. Brilliant.
Mate, just on what you said there, right? The matchmaking here is brilliant. So Lucas Balingnill, 15-2 going into this fight. This was for the English super lightweight title, which was vacant, right? And he was taking on Boy Jones Jr., who is 24-1. No, there's no undefeated records there, right? No undefeated records there. Fantastic, fantastic fight. That was top of the bill. You then have Martin McDonagh beating Conor Marsden. Conor Marsden came into the fight 6-2. And you had Martin McDonagh coming in there 10-2. So he had the experience. That was for the Southern Area lightweight title.
Love it.
And then you had Jordan Perkis. He was the only fighter undefeated going into one of these title fights. And then you had Ryan Walker taking on him, who was 12-3. And that was for the Southern Area bantamweight. The only stoppage in there came from Martin McDonagh. He stopped Conor Marsden in that particular fight, but the other two went the distance and they were brilliant. Brilliant matchmaking. Like you've just said there, this was the world title fight for the majority of these lads that were involved in this, and they showed that, and they put that on the line. They did that.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, a couple of fights there, very evenly matched lads, you know, guys with very similar records going at it. And then one of them there, that Jordan Perkis, only had four fights, but, a bit of a prospect, making a bit of noise. That's what a good matchmaker does. He sees a kid that's 4-0, but yes, he's ready. He's got aspirations and he's got the talent to go further. You put him into a sudden area title fight with a lad who's 12-3. But you know, the lad who's 12-3, he's become a little bit of an away fighter. It's a big moment for him. And goes the distance. It's a great fight. Perkis learns loads. Ryan Walker had a big moment. Okay, fell short. But that's what area title fights are supposed to look like, man. I've got nothing but respect for everybody involved, as you say. It's difficult, man. It's difficult when you're not on TV. Yeah. And these guys have come up with a different concept. Obviously, they're giving the content. I guarantee TalkSport didn't pay for the stream, but they're giving it to TalkSport, saying, man, put it on your platform, get more eyeballs on it, and we'll grow our brand via your platform. Brilliant, man. And I'm buzzing for the fact that they've done good matchmaking. They've got themselves a good contact with TalkSport, and it's delivered on TalkSport. So now people go, oh, that was free, that. In a world where we're paying twice for fights these days, twice.
Look at
you. We'll come back to that in a moment.
You've started.
Yeah, we'll come back to that shortly. But you're getting content like this for free. It may not be the best boxing you've ever seen, but it's well-matched competitive boxing. That's all that should matter.
Congratulations to everybody involved with that. That was great. Really good stuff at the weekend. Paying twice for fights, man. That's the world that we're living in now.
Yeah.
You've upset me. To be fair, the whole show's going to upset me until we get to the actual nuance of the fight. I just feel like a big ball of anger at the moment. I was asked to do plenty of stuff last week with all this back and forth with Fury and AJ. So I'd nips up. I'd stick my head above the parapet every now and again just to throw me two peas in. And you just walk away from talking about it angry. I'm sure every single fan's angry at the moment. Like every time you even think about it, you're just thinking, oh, for fuck's sake, and start throwing stuff around the room. Because we shouldn't be angry. We should be getting the fight. The fight should be happening, but it ain't. They dangled it, didn't they? And we bit. They dangled that carrot and I were there going, fucking hell. They've ironed out every problem. Yeah. There's nothing standing in the way. I was 95%
convinced it was done. I booked us a fucking Airbnb in Cardiff, for fuck's sake. 3-bedroom gaff right on the river. Walking
we were living in luxury all week, man. We were living in luxury.
Honestly, I'm so disappointed, one, in everybody involved, but also in myself on this occasion, because usually I'd have been first to go, well, that ain't happening. But because we'd spoken to enough people who were close enough to it, that were like, this is actually going to happen. That I was like, right, okay, fuck it. I'm all in then. I'm all in because this fight is definitely happening. And now we've basically come to the final moments where it's about signing on the dotted line. And the truth is revealing itself that plenty of people involved that said they wanted it actually never, ever wanted it in the first place. And it's so fucking disappointing now to be staring down the barrel of a fucking Manuel Char, fucking Dillian White piece of shit fight against their fucking Hergovic or whatever fight on the other side. I couldn't give a flying fuck. And I won't be covering either of those fights. There you go. You both pissed me right off.
Yeah, you will. We will talk about, mate.
I'll be on this show with a piece of mask and tape across my mouth. Remember when Chisora did that? I'm going full Chisora. If fucking Tyson Fury fights Chisora in December, when you talk about it on this show, I will have sellotape over my mouth. I am not promoting that shite. No fucking way. Inadvertently or not. Garbage, man. Fuck's sake. I'd rather neither of them fought in December now. Fuck it then. If you ain't going to fight each other, don't fight anybody. Now who's six talking about fighting Wilder? Fucking boxing, man. Boxing. Stick it on the list with Crawford versus Spence because that shit ain't happening either. And Ryan Garcia versus Tank Davis because that shit ain't happening either. Why? Because somewhere along the lines, people have got no balls. That's why. Boxers have got no balls. Fight the fucking fight. They're the only three fights that should be made before the end of the year in boxing to save boxing. And we're not getting any of them. We're not getting any of them. It's a fucking joke.
You okay?
No. You've pissed me off now.
Well, we piss you off cage. More. Because the thing that, what I found this week, whenever there's conversation about that involves Tyson Fury and involves Anthony Joshua, it brings out the worst in boxing fans right across boxing Twitter. You get on boxing Twitter and you think to yourself, what are you fucking talking about? Why? You should all be pissed off and not necessarily pissed off with Anthony Joshua or pissed off with Tyson Fury. You should be pissed off with boxing in general. The fact that this fight got as far as it did, to be pushed as far as it did, so therefore there's no real stumbling blocks, and for it still not to happen, you should all be pissed off with the whole situation, because I don't think anybody really comes out of this fucking shining. Let me give you my two P's worth on this, right? So if we cast our minds back, what is it now? Nearly a month, 3 weeks, yeah, a month. When Tyson Fury, he's been to the wrestling, hasn't he? He's enjoyed himself at the wrestling, and he's thinking to himself, right, I want to have a fight myself now. Usyk's not in. He's already said that he's not in as Usyk.
Well, let's be honest. Don't forget the fact that he did a little social media back and forth with Manuel Char. That was the first thing that happened. And we all went, fuck off.
Don't worry.
And then he called out AJ. Yeah.
Right, don't worry. I'm going to do the full shebang here, Sunshine. Don't you worry. Nobody's getting off lightly here. And this is another thing. People come at me. All week, I've had people saying, he's Team Fury him. And then about five tweets later off somebody else, he's Team AJ him. What the fuck am I? I don't even know. I'll tell you what we are. Honest. Straight down the fucking line. That's what we are on this show. Don't. Just because we say stuff that doesn't agree sometimes with your thought process because you're being biased, don't come at us saying that we're being biased, because we ain't in this situation. We're for boxing. This fight should be being made. And everybody along the way, in some way, shape or form, has pissed us off. And I'm going to give you the synopsis right now, as you've just said. There was a back and forth before the WWE thing with Manuel Char. And we even said on the show, Manuel Char, he's not in the top 50 heavyweights in the fucking world. He's not ranked with any of these sanctioning bodies. How the fuck can we even justify the best fighter on the planet in the heavyweight division? How can we justify him fighting Manuel Char? We can't do that. And I'm sure the fans all kicked off and they got into Tyson Fury on social media and flagged this to him. So Fury goes to the WWE, right? He does a few interviews at the WWE, speaking a little bit about the Anthony Joshua thing, insinuating it. And obviously on the Monday, you see him get his little video there. He's got his WBC belt wrapped around his shoulder. Yep. And he says, right, here we go, you big dosser, you silly sausage. Let's make a fight, shall we? Anthony Joshua, grow a scent. I'm throwing you a chance. Come and join me at whatever stadium that we can make, and let's make a fight. Right, so he throws it out there. Now
said it on Fight Disciples, if you remember, I went, fuck Manuel Char, call out AJ. That's a fight. If Usyk's not available, Bob, and he did exactly that.
There you go. Right, so that happens on a Monday, and during the day, we spots this video. Everybody's going wild about it. Oh, it's Tyson Fury being Tyson Fury. He's fucking, don't believe any word he says. Granted, we were all in that same boat. I genuinely believe at that time that Tyson Fury, it was a damage limitation situation from Tyson Fury. I think Tyson Fury wants to fight, but never in a million years did he believe when he was doing that, that Anthony Joshua would respond to him and this fight was a possibility. I genuinely believe that's where his head was at. He's throwing the name out. He's not going to fight me, but I'll throw the fucking name out anyway. We said that day.
To soften the blow AJ, when he announces who he's really fighting.
Absolutely. So therefore he could say, listen, I wanted Usyk. Usyk's not fighting until 2023. I've offered AJ and he's been a shithouse and he doesn't fancy it. So I'm going to have to fight someone. So I'll fight this dude and then I'll see you for Usyk next year. And then everybody would have gone, well, okay, it's not ideal, but he's definitely fighting Usyk. He's going down the Usyk route. Very similar to when he fought Schwartz and Wallin, and then he ends up with the Wilder fight. Wilder. People forgot about the Schwartz and Wallin thing because he went and did the fucking Wilder fight, even though both of them were bollocks, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, we get to this situation on a Monday, and we're on social media going, we don't believe any of this, but AJ, call his bluff. That's all you need to do. Call his fucking bluff. Because we don't believe the actual call out. He's doing it to try and save face, call his bluff. And AJ did. So then all of a sudden it gets tasty because AJ just goes, go on then, motherfucker. I'm not going to do this on social media. Speak to my people. Let's make this happen. And then over a period of 24, 48, 72 hours, it went quick. You've then got, all right, he's now going to fucking lowball him. That's where we went next, yeah. Didn't we?
That's
and he
right.
went, now go on then. We'll do 60-40. What? Whoa. Yeah. Because we had a full conversation about this saying, he's going to probably come in 80-20, which is 80-20. Taking a piss.
Exactly.
70-30. Can we get to 65-35? When he comes with 60-40, fucking game on. Snap his bloody hand off. We even said that. Snap his hand off. That is a wonderful, correct. Wonderful opportunity for Anthony Joshua. You've got a 60-40 split of multi-million dollar fight and a free swing at a WBC world title. Let's make that fight happen. Absolutely, we're all going in the right direction. Then, of course, you do have stumbling blocks along the way because we're talking about Anthony Joshua, who has got several commercial deals that obviously need to be appeased. You've got a broadcast situation which needs to be appeased. And that takes time. We get that. So let the people in suits deal with that because you two have agreed that you want a knock and the purse split is sweet, right? Mm-hmm. You've also got a situation where you've come to an agreement on date when that was going back and forth. One wants to go in November, one wants to go back end of December. You've settled on December the 3rd. You've got the fucking stadium booked. Man, we're all on it. We're all in. Yep. Let the people with brains that wear shirts and ties for a living, let them get on the table now and get everything ironed out and let it all go in the right direction. That's going to take time. Leave it. Don't say anything, Tyson. Why have you got to chirp up?
Yeah.
Why have you got to come with this mythical, hypothetical deadline? Nobody else is working towards the deadline.
Yeah.
That you've just all of a sudden pulled out of thin air at a boxing event, Joseph Parker and Joe Joyce. You've just pulled it out of thin air, mate. Why have you done that? Because everybody knows, because we've listened to Eddie Hearn, we've listened to Frank Warren, your promoter, we've listened to everybody else talking that is involved in the conversation of this deal, that on Monday, they're all sitting around the table and they're going to try and iron out these deals. There's no contract being signed on Monday. Why have you put a deadline on Monday? Because now all you're doing, you're making yourself look like a prat. Just shush.
It looks like his bottle gone. I don't want it to happen now. Making noises like he doesn't want it to happen.
Exactly. You're making noises that you actually didn't really want this in the first place, which is what people originally thought. Don't say anything. Just let the other people sort it out because what you're going to do, all right, this might go on longer than you want it to do. You might be kicking the cat around the house, pal. You might be frustrated. And I fully get that because you're the one that threw the opportunity. It's Anthony Joshua and nothing's coming back your way. But whilst that clock is ticking, whilst the days are moving on, the fans will make the noise for you. They are the ones looking at Anthony Joshua going, how long is this taking, man? What the fuck are you doing? But your side and his side have said that you've got the contract and it's gone back and forth. And all the noises that are coming out of Eddie Hearn's mouth and all the noises that are coming out of this person's mouth, they're all saying, well, now we're stuck on. So DAZN are in. That was a stumbling block. DAZN are in. BT are in. ESPN are in. Everybody's in. But these commercial deals now, because we're in a situation where we are told that the stumbling block right now is that the fight isn't going to go ahead because Anthony Joshua and his team, 258 Management, are looking for final say or some type of involvement in the say over the commercial aspects of this. Now, what we mean by that, or just to lay this down for people, you've got to understand, Anthony Joshua has commercial deals with people like Lucas said. He has a betting deal with William
Under
Hill.
Under Armour,
all these types of things. Now, for example, if this is a Queensbury rug promotion, which it is, they've got a deal with Unibet. Now, there might be a conflict of interest there. So Unibet are doing their thing. Unibet. You know what? Anthony Joshua, if he's got a deal with William, he can't be involved in that. So those things have got to be ironed out. But here's my thing. Here's my thing on this. They are piss poor excuses as to why this fight cannot go ahead. If you want this fight to go ahead, I mean, really want this fight to go ahead, it can go ahead. Because of the amount of money that is involved with it, all those people, that you can find a way to make that happen. However, if you don't want the fight to go ahead, you can also find a way as to why this fight does not go ahead. And that is where we're at right now. My take on this is very, very simple. Yeah, Fury's made himself look like a prat over the last 7 days. And by speaking, he has alienated a large amount of the fan base. He didn't need to speak. He just needed to let this take its toll, because people didn't believe him in the first place when this fight was, when he made this call out. And now last week, he's kind of diluted that whole situation once again. From an Anthony Joshua point of view, I never believed that 258 management, his management team, wanted this fight.
No.
Because let's be honest, the majority of us think he's going to lose it. And that would be three straight defeats. That massively harms his commercial value to 258 management, to DAZN, and to all those commercial partners that we are speaking about right now. And that is why we're in this situation, because I think 258 are putting the blocker on this fight in order to save and keep their commercial entity, rebuild him in 2023, back towards something at the start of 2024. That's where I think we are currently at right now, and that's why this fight is not going to happen.
I think you're probably right. I think that for me, once I heard, and we, I think we heard it back end of last week through various sources close to the deal, that DAZN were in. As soon as I heard DAZN were in at the back end of last week, I was like, this is fucking happening. This is definitely going to happen then. And then over the weekend, of course, it just gets a little bit murky again. It's like, right, oh no, now there's it's the commercial deals. And you're like, right, that, fuck it then. For me, that was the only stumbling block was DAZN, because DAZN went full Kylian Mbappe with him, didn't he? Give him a piece of the business, everything else. And they're like, fuck, we ain't going to screen this. We ain't going to get what we want out of it. But when I heard they were in, I was like, okay. For me, that was the last stumbling block. This, there's absolutely no reason this fight should happen. But you're right. I think the way, in hindsight, Tyson is himself has given Anthony Joshua's team enough material to allow them to fucking to go, nah, fuck it then. Tyson played this completely wrong. He should have been posting videos every day. Why not? But the video should have just been, here's me in the gym. I'm getting ready, Anthony. I'm ready for you. Come December 3rd, son, your ass is grass. But that's all he needed to do. No deadlines. No, if you don't do this, I'm going to do something else. No talk about Manuel Char. No fucking, you know, offering deals to Derek Chisora. Because all that just throws fuel on the fire to allow Eddie Hearn to go, mate, he doesn't even want it. He's talking to Chisora now. He's already done a deal with Manuel Char. He signed it. Here's the contract. Look, what the fuck is going on? And then he's putting deadlines. If you don't sign by tomorrow, that's it. I'm announcing something else. No. Why have you done any of that? If you really wanted to fight, it doesn't matter whether Tyson, I know his rhetoric's always been, I've had a bet with Frank Warren that this fight is never going to happen. But Frank keeps telling me it could happen. So I'm letting him crack on with it. But I've told Frank, we've had a bet, it won't happen. So why have you helped it not happen? In my opinion, Tyson Fury has encouraged the nonsense. He's encouraged it by the things he's been saying. All he had to keep doing is posting videos going, it's definitely happening, isn't it, AJ? It's definitely happening. I'm in camp. I'm ready. I hope you're in camp. December the 3rd, baby. See you in Cardiff. That's all he needed to post every day, because then he's cleaner. He's completely and utterly all in. He's not putting any negatives in it. He's not talking to anyone else. He's not putting any silly deadlines. He played this terribly. If he wanted it to happen. So now I'm allowed to be devil's advocate, Team AJ, for a second and go, well, Tyson never wanted it anyway. Tyson was just trying to get players like a fiddle so then he could do whatever he wanted and go and fight Manuel Charlo, go and fight Chisora anyway. He was never going to fight AJ. He was always putting roadblocks in. He was always, you know, we're about to go into a meeting tomorrow and Tyson's putting videos going, if you don't sign tomorrow, it's never happening. Why did Tyson do that? Why? Ask yourself that question. He has played his part on this fight falling down as much as it appears AJ's management team never wanted it in the first place. And I agree with that. Why would they want it? I kind of get it. It's not ideal for them. For me, it's ideal for AJ. It's a sports competition, man. You've just lost back-to-back against the number two heavyweight in the world. Now the number one's gone. Redemption? Fancy it? Why not? Make a fortune. Opportunity to join Lennox Lewis as a three-time world champion. Your name goes fucking through the roof and you've got nothing to lose. No one expects you to win. For me, AJ, who looked better than ever against Usyk in a second fight, he ain't going to get much. You certainly ain't going to get better going and fighting Hergovic, going and fighting whoever, and rebuilding in 2023 and then coming back in 2024. Because guess what? Tyson Fury might ride off into the sunset next year anyway. If he fights Usyk and beats Usyk once, maybe twice, who else is there? Is he going to offer AJ a bone then? AJ on the back of a win over Hergovic or Dillian White or whatever? I don't know. It's just... And by then, anyway, Joe Joyce is the one to, let's be honest, Joe Joyce is the big threat. Is he going to stick around for Joe Joyce? So, I'll stand by what I said when this fight first got, like 3 weeks ago when we were first getting excited. If this fight doesn't happen December the 3rd, this fight never, ever happens. And I think that's true. This will never happen.
I agree. The guy that I feel sorry for in this whole situation is George Warren. I feel so sorry for him because he's been sent into battle by Tyson Fury, go make the fight for us. And we know George. He's a quiet man. He doesn't like the limelight. He stays away from everything, but he's fucking good. He goes in there and he gets the shit done. And he's pushed this right down the line. It's there. We're there now. Let's rock and roll. And then he's got his heavyweight over here causing him murders. He's like, Tyson, shh, for fuck's sake, mate, right? You're making this harder than it needs to be. Help me out. Just stay quiet. Do exactly what you've just said. If you want to post some gym videos and all that type of stuff, you carry on doing that, sunshine. Leave me to deal with this situation.
Encourage it.
Yeah.
Because right now we should be in a position where everyone's like, well, it's Team AJ then. It's Team AJ. Why is it not getting over the line? Should have been done.
That's exactly what it's
done. Exactly. Like, that's what we should be. That's where boxing should be. We should be able to point the finger and go, oh, it didn't happen because of them. But again, I think part of the reason it didn't happen, it's easy to make the story that it's Tyson and his mythical deadlines. The whole thing has been a fuck up from the beginning. And somewhere around, I think everyone involved also has to take some responsibility.
Of course.
It's just shocking, absolutely shocking that we've come. The last month has been a roller coaster, man. And I think at times they were fucking so close to announcing a press conference that they thought this is happening. I don't think it was ever impossible. I think at one point in time, there was conversations about press tours, about this, about that, about, you know, I think it was that far. And now it just seemed, the last few days, the whole thing has just fell apart.
One thing that is 100% for sure, for all those people that do accuse me of being a Fury fanboy or an AJ fanboy or biased towards X, Y, and Z, no, that's all bullshit. One thing that I will confirm now on this podcast, I'm a Joe Joyce fanboy. That's where I am, right?
Yeah.
I am Team Joe Joyce. He's the guy. Yeah?
Yeah.
Fight him.
Only because he'd come out and said, I'll fight either of you.
Yeah, I love that.
I can do December.
Mate,
I'll fight AJ.
I am ready. Give me the day and I will be there. And all of them just shit. They all shat the pants. He's my guy, yeah? So when you see me chatting about boxing in the mainstream, on any platform or anything like that, no. Just remember this conversation. I'm not on Team Fury. I'm not on Team AJ. I'm on Team Joyce. That is where I'm going with this now. That lad, get him in the ring with either of these two. And I'm telling you now.
Not a fucking chance. Joyce would take it. There's not a chance AJ or Fury opt to fight Joe Joyce in 100%. December. Not a fucking hope in hell. As I say, get ready for Hergovich. Get ready for Manuel Char. Absolute diabolical. Couldn't give a flying fuck about either of those fights. And meanwhile,
Joe Joyce goes and fights Deontay Wilder and does him. That's the
fucking
guy.
Right.
Joe Joyce is the guy.
Jesus.
Let's move on to this week because I know that people have come for a buzz up, haven't they? They've come to get excited about the nostalgia fight this weekend. Yeah. Let's do the negatives connected to it first and foremost.
Wait. Before we do, I just want to do a quick shout out because we need to end with this because it's the big thing, big talking point all week. Quick shout out for Sam Eggington, who fights on Saturday night in Newcastle. I think it'll be Newcastle, Sydney, Australia, by the way. I think it will be Saturday night in Sydney. Will that be Saturday morning here in the UK, I think? 12 hours ahead, aren't they? So, yeah, it'll be Saturday morning. Keep an eye out for it. Hopefully it gets picked up by one of the UK broadcasters. I don't know whether it has. He's taking on Dennis Hogan, who people will be familiar with, who's been there, done it himself. Both had a very similar stage in their careers. Hogan, of course, lost to Tim Tszyu, but that was on the back of a loss to Munguia, a loss to Charlo. You know, he's very similar to Sam lost at the very highest level, but as a massive ticket seller, massively popular. Eggington versus Hogan, Saturday morning. UK TV have got to pick it up because Sam Eggington's never been in a bad fight. And as I say, I think it's a real good matchup for both of them. Good luck to Sam out in Australia. Crack and fight that one.
Yeah. Eubank Jr., Ben, here we go. Now, last week...
It's all about Friday for me. Friday, baby.
Listen, last week, I just want to go back last week. So obviously, I'm angry. It's constantly talking about Fury AJ all the time. I flicks on my morning TV, got my Cocoa Pops on the go. Look who's on the television. There they are, the boys. Good morning, yeah. Britain. Mainstream breakfast television. You've got Chris Eubank Jr. being as eloquent as ever, tying everybody in knots with his verbals. And then you've just got a big ball of anger in the corner in Conor Ben, ready to rock and roll. Brilliant, though.
I love them both.
Yeah, same. Brilliant television. The personalities clash brilliantly. It's captivating. It's very similar to what we experienced, obviously, in the 90s with the dads. And that is what we're all witnessing playing out. But great to see it in the mainstream. Absolutely great to see it in the mainstream. I'm seeing billboards in train stations, major advertisements, obviously in old school media. Every time I flick on my social media, it's there. It's constant. It's constantly churning. Brilliant. I think the promotion for this, I know it's easy because of the story and the nostalgia that came from the 90s, but I think it's been really, really good. Now, is the downer part on this? Just because it sells itself and it's been really, really good, why are we having to pay twice for it?
Correct.
Now, I know that you want to make a few quid to zone, right, with the pay-per-view thing. And, okay, we kind of let the Canelo Triple G thing slide a little bit because it was a lower price point at £9.99. Still fucking pricey, let's be straight, in the modern day while people are struggling with these Tories absolutely pulling all our pants down at the moment and the energy crisis. I know that's not your beef. You've all got to make a few quid. But I'm just pointing out what people are going through in the day-to-day lives. Why now, right? Am I paying a subscription of a tenner a month to the channel for the shoulder programming? Don't get me wrong, the shoulder programming's been solid. But a tenner a month for that? And you're asking me now for 20 quid to watch the fight on Saturday? And I can't go to the boozers with me mates to watch it because you haven't fucking sorted out the fucking licenses. Why can't I do that?
They fucked up, haven't they? Because they've got trials. I think there's 6 or 7 pubs across the UK that have got a trial. Why are you trialing it? It's going to fucking work. Put it on in every fucking boozer. Get it on. I don't understand why you're trialing it. Mate, if it was on the pub, I'd be out Saturday night. I'd be fucking out to get a bit of atmosphere. I'm not going down to London this weekend. And I'd have been out getting a bit of atmosphere with all the lads. They arranged it by now. The fact that it isn't and the fact that I'm having to pay 20 additional quid. Canelo Triple G, the extra tenner. All right, I understand. I get it. But to double the price for what is effectively a
but it's British divisional. British prime time. It's British prime time. It's an extra £10 for that. Oof, mate.
It's anyway. Doesn't matter what you think about the fight. Doesn't matter whether you think it's a freak show fight or whether you're all engaged. Do you think it's going to be competitive, whatever. We haven't even got to fight week yet, and it's already massive. It already feels like a big fight, let's be honest. Because they've been everywhere, because of GMB, because of GMTV, all that kind of stuff, it feels like a big fight. It feels a much bigger fight than what it is, in my opinion. And that's great. Yeah. That's what the promotion's all about. And I can't wait for it. Listen, inject it into me veins. Every bit of media this week that they do, open workouts, media day, especially Friday. Friday, I think I'm looking forward to Friday's weigh-in, probably more than any weigh-in I can remember, more than any boxing weigh-in I can remember in a long time. That is going to be high drama on Friday, regardless of what happens. I'm on social media last night. Chris Eubank Jr., who I was on national radio last week saying, I don't know where I'm at with it, man. It's fucking terrible. We're asking a guy to make weight. He's never made it before. Then we're putting a rehydration clause on. It's dangerous to his health. What are the British Boxing Border Control doing? I don't know whether I'm supposed to love this fight, be scared of this fight. What if he turns up and he's a shadow of himself and Conor Ben runs through him? We've made this happen. He could end up in hospital. What if Eubank turns up and the rehydration clause and it doesn't matter and he blows up and he batters Conor Ben because he's three weight divisions bigger? I don't know how I'm supposed to react. It's just not right. The Border Control have lost their minds. And then I'm on Chris Eubank's fucking social media yesterday and he's fucking at that mad steakhouse where the fella pours the salt on the steak and he's eating a big piece of sirloin. And I'm like, Chris, man, what are you doing? What are you doing to me, man? Jesus Christ.
Listen.
He's obviously not worried about it.
No, listen. I don't believe that them videos are now. I don't believe that. This guy is an elite troll. As all of you lot out there that troll us, nah, man, up your game. He is an elite troll. He has saved, I reckon, all these videos of him eating burgers, KFC, all the T-bone thing that he were eating last night. Mate, these are months ago. These are from birthday parties from last year and shit, right? And he's just all of a sudden going, yep, see you next week on the scales, bosh, and just dropping all these videos in there. This guy is a pro, I'm telling you. There's no way that he is fucking about. All this stuff last week on TV, 60%, all this. I'm like going, he's cast the line. He's reeling them all in. Meanwhile, over in the corner, you can just see Connor like this. Just absolutely raging, getting raged up. He's having a whale of a time. Chris Eubank Jr. is having a fucking whale of a time. Trust me, he'll be switched on. He'll have done the work. He'll be training hard. All this chat about I'm training myself and all that. There's elements to that because we know he's pig-headed, but there will be a team there. They will know what he's on the line on this particular fight. He will be grafting. He'll have done the graft. He'll be ready to rock and roll. He cannot afford to take Conor Ben lightly because my take on the fight is that I've seen Chris Eubank Jr. on plenty of occasions fight, plenty of occasions. And for four rounds, he's mustered. The majority of the time. Don't get me wrong, when he stepped up against people like George Groves, he's fallen short of touch because George Groves was the business. The first four rounds, he looks absolute superb. And you think to yourself, man, fucking hell, he's looking really good. And then he goes for a walk. He does the old James the Gale thing. He goes for a trot. He fucks about. He can't fuck about on Saturday because Conor Ben will be like a shit that won't flush. He might get his head boxed off for four or five rounds. Might do. Might get embarrassed for four or five rounds. Might get put on his ass in the first four or five rounds. He won't go anywhere because he has got bollocks of steel, mate. He will be up and he'll keep going because in his head, he'll be thinking, this fucker's going to go for a walk in a minute. And when he does go for a walk, I'm going to get him. That is where Conor Ben will be at coming into this fight this weekend. And I know I've jumped ahead talking about the fight. You are right in what you've just said there. The weigh-in on Friday is just going to be fucking carnage, isn't it? It's going to be absolute carnage. He's going to trot in with a bucket of KFC under his arm. He's going to hit the scales with the KFC in his hand and still hit 157. And he's going to go, and then he's just going to fucking trot off, isn't he? What a dude.
I'm not that confident about the scales. Right here, right now, I'll say it. I'll go public on it. Eubank misses weight. I don't think he hits 157. What are you going to do then? I think he does 158.5, something like that. And Ben is so... This is all part of it. All the 60% stuff, all the videos, everything else. You can see it, man. Connor is fucking sleepless nights at the moment. He's turbocharged. He can't wait to get in there and tear Chris Eubank apart. And Chris Eubank is going to bed at night chuckling his tits off. He's sleeping like a baby. He's having the time of his life. And there's absolutely no way he makes 157 on Friday. And you know what? I don't think he gives a flying fuck about it. So what? You're going to take 100 grand off him? Whatevs, man. Whatevs. 150 grand because of and 1.5 over? No problem. But that 1.5 is all the difference. The whole point of 158 was to deplete Chris to the point where he isn't the guy that completely outboxed Arthur Abram, the guy that beat, James DeGale, the guy that had a cracking fight with George Groves. Deplete him. Get that guy to a place where he is mentally been in a bad place. To make that weight those 24 hours before the scales would be horrific for Chris Eubank Jr. And they would have him doubting himself, doubting whether he's made the right decision, everything else. That was why they want 157, because he'd never done it before. But when he turns up and he just hits 185 and goes, oh, well, what are we going to do? There's no way Conor Benn, who's this vexed, who's this angry, wants to tear him apart so much, goes, yeah, fuck it, we'll walk. He is going to go, yeah, man, take some money off him, whatever. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if everybody's 160. I'm going to kill the motherfucker. Yeah, that's exactly what he wants. That's exactly what he wants, Conor. He's got you wrapped around his little finger. You've got to. That's when it's about the team then. Their team have to make a decision. But I tell you now, there's no way Eubank Jr. makes 157 on Friday. Absolutely no way.
You've gone big, man. I think he does. I think he does. I think he does hit 157. Just to prove a point. And I think he'll be fine. No, just to everybody. I think he'll be fine. This is a guy that doesn't walk around at major weight. He's not massive. Yes, okay, to get what is it, 3 pounds off him, he's gonna be struggling. He's had to change everything. He will have had to change his training regime, he will have had to lose muscle mass because there's no water on him, there's nothing on him. Nope. So to hit 157 is gonna be a struggle. I think he'll do it. And I don't think it'll have a major, major effect on him because he doesn't blow up massive anyway. He's not a man. When he fought at 168, he wasn't weighing in at 168. He was weighing in at 166.5 and 167. He's under it. So, you know, I don't think it'll have a major effect on him.
The lightest he's ever been is 158 and a quarter. And that was for Omar Siala in Liverpool. That was in 2014. His best wins have come at 168. 168, that's a stone and a pound heavier than what you want him to make right now. Honestly, getting that extra, he may be able to get down to, you know, 158, but that last pound would kill him. And that's why it was set at 157. I just don't think there's, what's the incentive for Chris Eubank Jr. to make 157? Save him 150 grand. Have you not seen the lifestyle Chris Eubank Jr. has? Fucker doesn't care about 150 grand. And you're gonna chance the fact that your dad has never lost to his dad. You're gonna chance that on losing 150 grand. Get to France. No way. What you're gonna do is you're gonna poke and antagonize the young bear. So he can't wait to get in the ring with you. He's literally fucking counting the moments till he gets his hand on you. And then at the last moment, at the weigh-ins, you go, oh, yeah, I've made weight. See you tomorrow. Here's your money. Here's your money, son. See you tomorrow. And Connor's going to be like, I don't care what weight he is. Get him in that ring tomorrow. I'm going to destroy him. Eubank will be like, see you tomorrow, kids. I'll probably be about 168 tomorrow.
We're laughing, but that's wrong. It's wrong, it man. Is. Because this is the thing. When this fight was made, there's weight divisions for a reason, man. Safety is paramount to these guys. And if we're really, really honest, let's forget what their names are. Forget that this is Ben Eubank. Just move that to one side. We're talking about a fighter that has competed at world level for world championships.
Yeah.
At 168. Beaten
two former world champions. He's beaten two of them.
At 168, right? At super middleweight. That's what he has done. This particular fighter A has done that. We want to match him with a fighter that has never fought above 147.
Yeah.
He's never won the British title. He's never won the European title, never competed at world level. But we want to match him with that guy at 168. Is that okay? Come on, man. British Boxing Board of Control go, what the fuck are you talking about? Absolutely not a cat in hell's chance that we're allowing that to happen. One, the level disparity, the experience disparity right now is too vast. And two, the weight is ridiculous. There's not a cat in hell's chance that fight happens. But because we've got nostalgia and because there's a few quid on the table, everybody's just gone, yeah, all right, sweep it under the table. Let's get this fucker rocking and rolling. It was always the weight was always, always, always a concern, especially, and you've heard me say it on many occasions, from the rehydration point of view. I hate rehydration clothes. Stick them in the bin. They don't fucking belong in boxing. But the nostalgia of the fight, everybody gets into it. Even me, I'm in. I'm in on the nostalgia of the fight.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
We're here for this knock at the weekend. So, listen, man, I know that we're saying what will happen and we're having a bit of a laugh and a joke about it, but there's a serious aspect to this. This is a fight. It's a proper fight. And therefore, if you're not going to take weight category serious in the game and something bad happens on the back end of it, it's going to be boxing that gets fucking dragged through the mud, mate, if something bad
happens. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And it'll be the British Boxing Board of Control that has to answer these questions, because you're right. If it wasn't for the surnames, I don't believe this fight gets sanctioned, because for everything we just said, you're asking a guy that's never, ever made a weight before to make a weight to try and counterbalance a fight that shouldn't actually be happening because of weight divisions. It's dangerous. I think if he does make 157, and again, there's fucking not a cat and hell's chance he does, but if he were to get down to 157, Thursday night, Friday morning are going to be some of the worst hours of Chris Eubank Jr.'s life. And then what you're going to ask him to do is get into a boxing ring the following night on a restricted rehydration clause to balance the fight. You're hampering a fighter to make it to try and level the playing field. How is that British Boxing Board of Control being responsible? It isn't. Because they've been swayed clearly by the pound notes. Someone said to them, the kickback to you, the percent for the Board of Control is going to be X, Y, Z. Otherwise, why would it be happening? They'd be like, no, we can't do that. The guy's never done that weight before. And basically, as soon as you hear rehydration clause, your alarm bell should go, right, mismatch. This fight shouldn't be happening. There's a rehydration clause to make sure that the guy who's bigger or the girl who's bigger is going to be impeded on the recovery process to try and level the playing field. That should be a red flag in fight sports completely, an absolute red flag. But again, I'm not going to get caught up in it because we're here now. It's happening. The fucking posters have been done. The whole nation is talking about it, and we're talking about it. And perversely, I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
But again, I'll be happier when Chris Eubank Jr. makes weight on Friday with a smile on his face, whether that's at 157 or 158.5 or whatever it may be. I just want to see into his eyes. If he gets on them scales and he looks dead at the weight, then I'm terrified then about what's going to happen on Friday night. Then again, if he rocks up the scales at 160 and he's like, Connor's fighting me anyway, I couldn't give a flying fuck, then my concern's for Connor, because Chris Eubank's going to be way too big for him.
Yeah, so you're gonna need some elite refereeing, and you're gonna need some elite corner work, because there's gonna be points in this where he's taking a shellacking. We saw Cedric Pinot at the York Hall beat a young Connor to a pulp. Now, all right, he stayed in there and he managed to stay in that particular fight, but that was a young Connor, so he's hittable. He's developed. There's no doubt about that. He's much better now than he was then. There's no doubt about that. But as I keep saying, Eubank Jr. has fought at the world level. You might not think he's a world level fighter, but he's fought at world level. He's been in with the very best.
He's beaten two former world champions.
I get that, but they're not the version of the world champion. We've got to be honest with what he beat.
It doesn't matter. He won every round against Arthur Abram. Abram used to be a capable champion, and he beat James the Gale. There's no contest.
Mate, he had a proper fight with George Groves. He had a proper fight with George Groves. So he's been at the top level.
My big concern here is that, with all due respect, these families should know better. That's my big concern. That's my real concern. And not to blow Chris Eubank Sr.'s flute here, but I think he was right a few weeks ago. Eubank Sr. was in with Michael Watson. Watson suffered near-fatal injuries. Ben was in with Gerald McLellan. Gerald McLellan almost died in the ring. Now he's fucking severely disabled. Eubank Jr. was in with Nick Blackwell. Nick Blackwell had to be put into a medically induced coma because the referee didn't stop the fight. The referee was too brave for his own good that night. I remember Chris Eubank Sr. was begging the referee to stop the fight, and then he told Jr. to stop punching him in the face, only punch him to the body. And Nick Blackwell ended up in a coma. These families should know better about restricting rehydration, about mismatches, about what boxing can do when a fight goes wrong. And what we've done here by matching these guys together at this weight division is put boxing out there. Like, the opportunity for things to go wrong are far greater in this fight, because one guy is a lot bigger than the other guy and a lot more experience. So let's hamper him. Let's fucking, put his body into crisis. If he hits 157, his body's in crisis mode. Like when someone finishes the London Marathon and they're fucking fully dehydrated, get them on a drip quick. Thing is, because of boxing, you can't put him on a drip. He's got to rehydrate. Honestly, they should know better. But the problem is the fucking dollar. There's a lot of money to be made in this fight. I just hope the referee isn't brave. The corner isn't brave. If the fight's swinging one way, either way, stop the fight. Get in there and stop it. As soon as you've seen enough, stop it. That's what needs to happen. And I hope that that's the case.
Yeah, man. I don't want to bash the undercard, so I'll just not talk about it. Yeah. It's average. And that's that this week. Is there anything else on actual fights this week that you want to talk about? Because there's other bits of news that I'm going to throw into the show.
I don't think so, no. I'm just having a little look at the undercard myself, but yeah.
There's nothing there, mate.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
No.
Right, news-wise. I don't know whether to believe this, not to believe this, because it's been called three times now, I think. But we seem to be heading in the direction that the WBA are going to do Leo Santa Cruz and Lee Wood. I've lost count of how many times they've gone, yeah, we're doing it. And then they've said, okay, then you can do the unification with Ray Vargas. Okay, then, yeah, you can do this one. Mate, Leo Santa Cruz has not defended this championship.
He's not the world champion. Lee Wood is the world champion. I recognize Lee Wood.
That's your opinion. Officially, that's not the case. And that's where the farce is here, isn't it? So this fight has to happen. I'm delighted for Lee Wood that he gets the opportunity to fight someone like Leo Santa Cruz and to solidify himself as the world champion. Listen, it's going to be tough. Leo Santa Cruz is mustard.
Yeah. But fucking Maurizio Lara was tough. So if you're gonna fight one of them, it may as well be the guy that's on his way to the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? So
yeah. And fingers crossed.
Suddenly Lee Wood's injury was perfectly timed, ladies and gentlemen. Perfectly timed.
Listen,
I ain't begrudging that. I've seen a lot of people. Yeah, listen. He wanted that fight. He chose Maurizio Lara. I've seen a few people online going, oh, he's ducking Maurizio Lara. Mate, he fucking for real. He could have handpicked anybody in that last fight in Nottingham, and he wanted Maurizio Lara. But listen, whether he's genuinely injured or whether they got wind of the, you know, more than likely potential to fight, to make it one belt, one champion, whatever, I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with it because Leo Santa Cruz is a fight that he should have had a year ago anyway.
Yeah.
And knowing Lee Wood, he'll beat Santa Cruz, come back and defend it against Lara anyway, because that's the way Lee's made.
Well, personally, I'd love to see him against Warrington. Whoever wins that fight, I'd love to see him in with Josh Warrington because that would be an absolute cracker. Again, fights that aren't being made at the moment. We were told months ago that we were heading in the right direction for Spence Crawford. November was going to be the time that we were going to see this particular fight. And a lot of the things that we've been speaking about with the AJ Fury situation have cropped up in this particular fight. And they've been agreed to. For example, Terence Crawford, who I am backing in this fight. I believe that he will beat Errol Spence. He has decided to take the less per split. So he's taking the lesser percentage of the per split in this particular fight in order to get it over the line. But all he wants is full transparency of the money's coming in. What's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing wrong with that whatsoever. If you're entering into any type of business agreement, whether it's a partnership percentage split and what have you, you want to see where all the revenue, the full pot at the end. Show me the full revenues of how this fight has been monetized. I've agreed to, let's say they've agreed to 60-40. I want 40% of that. Of everything. Of nothing wrong with that. Terence Crawford, well within his rights to demand that. He's been denied that. What? Eh? That just fucking throws up a red flag straight away. One, you're either being a dodgy bastard with him, or two, you don't want the fight, Al Haymon.
Exactly. Exactly. More fucking nonsense from the PBC. It's just... Boxing just fucking pisses me off, man. And I know we're going to come on to Tank Davis as well and fucking Ryan Garcia and Golden Boy because they're just as bad. Golden Boy can't get their shit together. They can't get their fight over the fucking line. PBC can't get the best welterweight fight over the line. Matchroom and fucking Frank combined can't get this British heavyweight fight over the line. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Boxing if we would run boxing, if we were in charge of just making fights, boxing would be fucking amazing. It'd be, honestly, it'd be coming up to the end of the year and everyone be like, what World Cup? We don't give a fuck. The boxing's on and the Fight Disciples make all fights and it's the greatest sport on the planet. But instead, we have all this bollocks, fucking politics, fights that Terence Crawford left Top Rank, left his management, left his associate, his promoter, sorry. So he was a free agent so he could negotiate and go, PBC, man, do it. Come on, let's do it. And for him to go, yeah, man, give me the smallest. I'm the better fighter. I believe he is. He's the one with, he's for me, he's ranked above Terence Crawford as the number one. He's the A side. Yeah. It's close, but he's the A side. For him to go, yeah, man, sound, give me the smaller percentage, but just let me see the figures. Yeah, show me my accountants, all the figures within. Oh, no, we can't do that. What? It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous, honestly. They're all as bad as each other, man.
Just on this, because I want to flag something up that I did on TalkSport this week. I was asked a question on the Drive Time show as to why fans in fight sports are turning more towards MMA, in particular the UFC, and turning away from the world of boxing. Obviously, I brought up multiple belts and various things like this and what have you. And matchmaking is one of the things that I brought up. And some of the things that have come back, I just want to flag these things up, right? Because people have come and said, look at Catterall here. He's comparing the UFC, a franchise within MMA, to the whole of boxing. No. If you go and watch the video properly, what I did, I've made a reference to the whole of MMA, but then I said the majority of fans would choose the UFC as the premier organization within MMA. Too many people, and I'm saying this on the boxing podcast because I know that there's boxing fans here that kind of know a little bit about MMA, but they don't know too much about it, right? They genuinely believe that the UFC, Bellator, ONE Championship, KSW, they are all like the WBC, IBF, WBA, and WBO. No, that's not how it is in MMA. There are levels. The way that you should look at MMA, if you are a boxing fan that don't know too much about it, look at it like football. The UFC is the Premier League. You then have other franchises that are like the Championship or like League One or like League Two. So when you come at me and say, is there a heavyweight champion in Bellator? Yes, there is. Well, how can you say that the heavyweight champion in the UFC is the number one? Well, okay then. Do you watch football? Yeah. Who are the Premier League champions? Who are the best team in England? Manchester City. Right. Fulham won the Championship last year. Are they the best team in England? No, that's ridiculous. Well, that's this argument. That's what this argument is. And this is what I was saying on the radio last week. Second point of this, people come at me about money. Yeah, but guys in the UFC, they don't get paid, do they, in the UFC? They don't get paid the top dollar. What the fuck are you talking about? They don't get paid the top dollar. I know you're only referring to the top 1-3% at the very top end in the world title fights because the heavyweight championship of the world, yeah, it does generate between $30 and $100 million. That's what it does do. We understand that in the world of boxing. And in the world of UFC, it doesn't necessarily do that. But how much do British title fighters get paid for a British title fight? Or people on the undercard?
There was a lad who fought for a British title last month. Don't get me wrong. He came in, he wasn't the favourite to win the British title, but he got £1,800 for a British title fight.
£1,800 for a British title fight. And as you go up the food chain into the Commonwealth title fights and the European title fights, how much are those guys and girls getting paid?
Those Africans that come over and fight for Commonwealth titles are fucking happy if they get £1,800.
Exactly. Now go and look at the UFC and go and look at the first fight on the card, second fight on the card, third fight on the card. Go and look at the wages that they get. So therefore, and how they're incentivized. There are fighters that UFC London that started the card off that walked away with $100,000 in the back pocket. Yeah. Because they not only did they turn up, get their wages, they won the fight, and then they ended up with a fight of the night bonus. So it levels itself out right across the board. Again, I know that people will have their own opinions on these types of things, but that model, that MMA model, that UFC model, you have to look at that as the premier way. From a fan's point of view, not necessarily a fighter's point of view, but from a fan's point of view, that is the premier way of making fight sports work. And if boxing wants to be ignorant enough to look at it and go, ah, yeah, but that is apples and oranges, you're fucking deluded. Get your head out your ass. Just because it's always been this way doesn't mean it's always going to be. It should always be that way. Boxing needs to change fundamentally, and MMA is doing it far fucking better than boxing is doing, and it is growing at a rapid, rapid speed.
It's because it was done by design. You know, I always use the American franchise model. Think of the UFC like the NFL. If you say to someone who's the best American football team in the world, they're going to pick a team out of the NFL. No one's going to pick the Canadian League. No one's going to pick one of the other lesser leagues, the European League or whatever it may be. And that's kind of, UFC is so far ahead of every other promotion, probably generates more cash and more eyeballs than every other MMA promotion on the planet put together. It is a way the elite. The reason it got like that is when the Fatitas bought it, they also bought Pride and they also bought WEC. So it's kind of like, imagine Eddie Hearn suddenly got, you know, Saudi partners, and those Saudi partners, the same ones who are bankrolling Live Golf, went, right, Eddie, we want to take over boxing. What do we do? And Eddie went, right, buy me PBC, buy Golden Boy, buy, you know, Top Rank, buy all
Queensbury.
Them.
Buy more.
Buy Queensbury. And I'll have all the fighters and their contracts now become Matchroom property. And Matchroom is the number one promoter. Imagine that happened. Or that's kind of what the UFC did when they, 20 years ago, when they were taken over by the Fatitas, they put the money in the pocket, went, right, we'll buy Pride in Japan. We'll buy the WEC, which is the lighter weight divisions. We'll buy Strikeforce in America. We'll have all those fighters on our roster. We'll incorporate all them. Boom, we're now the biggest fish. And now you've got other promotions coming along. People are like, oh, yeah, but what about Bellator? Well, Bellator is owned by, is managed by Scott Coker. Scott Coker had Strikeforce. He built that and he sold it to the UFC. And he spent 5 or 6 years out of the sport, which is part of his deal of selling it to the UFC. You no longer get involved in MMA. And once that restricted period come out, he replaced Bjorn Rebney as head of Bellator. And now he's running Bellator. But don't think for a second Bellator competes with the UFC. It's not the WBC, WBA, IBF. It's not that at whatsoever. But imagine Matchroom then, buy all those biz, buy Top Rank, buy Golden Boy. So everyone's under Matchroom now in all of boxing. Now what Matchroom do is go, yeah, that old model of boxing, that's shite. WBC, WBA, IBF, all them. We're not using you.
Don't need you.
We've got our own belt. Here it is. And it's called the world title belt by Matchroom. There you go. That's the world champion. He's got it. And there's just one belt. That's what the UFC did. That's the model that they've done, just to kind of explain it. So, yeah, would that be good for boxing? It'd be impossible is the problem, because certain organizations wouldn't sell. Obviously. Queensbury, doesn't matter how much money you offer Frank, he ain't selling to fucking Eddie because of years of politics and everything else. And has anybody got the financial backing? Again, you think about the Saudis. What would the long-term benefits be from controlling all of boxing? Having everybody? Is there a real entity there? From a fan's perspective, it'd be fucking great if every fight got made. It'd be great if there was no politics and restrictions and the best just fought the best. That's never going to happen in boxing. But we can go down another route. Eddie can sit with Top Rank and sit with PBC and have conversations like adults with all the promotions and go, should we fuck the WBA off? Yeah, let's do that. Let's fuck them off. No one sanctioned their fights anymore, right? Should we fuck them off as well? Yeah, WBC, get rid of them. No one do them. The problem is that they're under pressure from TV broadcasters, because all of the ESPNs, the Skies, the Zones, the BT, all these platforms, they want a Saturday night world title fight. And that's where the growth came. That's where the explosion of these belts come from. That's why it becomes so... WBA aren't throwing out belts for no reason. It's because the promoters are going, shit, we need a 12-round title fight for this Friday night card at your call, because it's on the telly. Yeah, we need a title fight. You got to... Right, okay. Got us a title... Yeah, go ahead. There's a intercontinental belt. Oh, fucking sound. We'll have one of them, yeah. It's been going on for decades. It's because the TV broadcasters need a belt. We don't need a... But look at the UFC. Look at boxing before the TV explosion. There was only one world champion in boxing originally. The British belt meant something. The European title meant something. back in the days of the fucking 50s and 60s when boxing was booming, there wasn't this plethora of belts then. People would buy to go and watch, go buy a ticket to go and watch the boxing because they knew there was a British title fight on and how hard it was to win a British title. Now British title fights are on headline and non-TV cards. They've been cast aside for these intercontinental, oh yeah, but he's not going the British title route. He's going the ranking route. What? Boxing can clean itself. Boxing can revolutionize itself. But I think it needs the fans to urge the promoters to push back against TV broadcasters and go, no, we don't need some piece of shit belt. Let's just make good matchmaking. Joe Joyce last week versus Joe Parker. As far as I'm concerned, okay, we got told it was an eliminator. I didn't see no one parade a big belt afterwards. That didn't need to happen. All I knew is two of the best light heavyweights on the planet, top 10, were going at it for the fight to stay relevant in the division. And there was loads of questions being answered and we were fully engaged. It was just a great fight, great matchmaking, no belt required. All the boxing could look like that.
They stuck a belt on it though, didn't they? They did put an interim belt on that though.
Interim belts should only be there when a champion is unavailable.
Yep.
But then there should only be one champion in each weight division. And don't get me started on scoring, for fuck's sake. That's the easiest one yet. This universal scoring system, courtesy of the ABC, should have been introduced years ago. But why hasn't it been introduced? I don't know, man. Maybe because people like corruption in boxing, because you can sway fights a certain way. I don't know, man. I'm not starting the rumor and merely voicing the rumor. That's a fact. People like the fact that fights are judged on opinion.
You went from rumor to fact in 3 seconds then. Amazing.
Fuck's sake.
Listen, I just wanted to clear some of that stuff up because I know that there's a lot of fans that listen to this that maybe have an opinion as to what MMA is. That hopefully gives you a little bit more of an inkling as to why that model, we celebrate it as we do. Thank you very much for listening to us.
Enjoy the weigh-ins.
Listen, this week is just all week is going to be brilliant. I think they're even starting early. I think they're starting like on a Monday. They're treating it like a Vegas fight week where they're having, you know, fighter arrivals. Right,
grand arrivals.
Yeah, all that. In the pissing down Intercontinental or whatever it is at the O2. Listen, it's going to be great. The pomp and ceremony of this week is going to be great. Matchroom and DAZN for all our critique at certain times. From a production point of view, they got a town on it. And the shoulder programming, everything looks good. It's pointing in the right direction this weekend. Fingers crossed. You get out of it what you want. I don't think it has any major ramifications for the sport.
I just hope it's a great fight. I hope that the quality of the fight becomes the takeaway on the show next week and not, because there's going to be so much drama around this week. There's going to be so much noise, so much razzmatazz, so much to talk about, so much to talk about. I can't wait for Friday. I can't wait for Friday just because the narratives that are going to come out of it are going to be unreal. But I just hope that both fighters are safe on Saturday night. Nobody's too brave for their own good. And we come away going, yeah, well done, Matchroom. Well done, DAZN. It was a good bit of fun, that. Good fight. Enjoyed it. Both fighters crack on with their careers.
Yeah. How does he weigh in? Eubank, he does that, doesn't he? Isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Little with KFC on this hand. McDonald's on this hand.
With gloves on.
That's what he wants to do. Listen, thank you very much for listening to us. It's been an absolute pleasure once again being in your company. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can also subscribe on iTunes. Fight Disciples on both of those platforms is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is our website. Go and get stuck into that. Be across all social media this week. We'll keep you up to date. There may be some more content coming your way. Also, thank you very much for all your emails about our new show. We are looking to start it in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
As I said, on social media, we've been inundated with that many emails. It's going to be impossible to get everybody in to the same show. So be patient. Everybody's going to get an opportunity to be on the program, of which we will put out exclusively on our YouTube channel. But it'll be 10, 12 people at a time. That's that probably because we don't want you to just come in and say one thing. We want you to come in, be a part of it, say your stuff, go back and forth with not just us, but with other people that are going to be on the stream as well. So we think, you know, having a rotation You get your week, and if you're wicked, we'll bring you back week after or something like that. But it's going to take a little bit of time to get through the amount of emails that we've received of people wanting to be involved because they've come from all over the world. We've got to cater for the time differences as well as to where people are at. So do stick with that. All right. Thank you very much for listening to us. We will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.